My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perek He. Perek He starts with the descendants of Reuven and Gad and Manasseh. These were the tribes that lived on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The last third or so of the Perek starts the genealogy of Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi. Our Perek opens by explaining why Reuven is not considered the Bechor, literally the firstborn, even though he was indeed the first child born to Yaakov. The pasuk reads, "Uvnei Reuven Bechor Yisrael, ki hu ha-Bechor," and the sons of Reuven, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. "Uvechalalo yitzu'e aviv." These next words, "Bechalalo yitzu'e aviv," are a paraphrase of Yaakov's bracha to Reuven when he blesses all the tribes at the end of his life. There, he reprimands Reuven for defiling his bed, "Az chilalti yitzu'e ala." The Mefarshim there and here explain that defiling his father's bed refers to Reuven inappropriately getting involved in his father's marital life by moving Yaakov's bed from the tent of Bilhah after Rachel's death to the tent of his own mother Leah. The pasuk continues, "Because of this act, nitna b'choraso livnei Yosef ben Yisrael." His firstborn rights were given to Yosef. One of the privileges of being the firstborn is pi shnayim, meaning double inheritance. This privilege of double inheritance was given by Yaakov before his death to Yosef, in that the tribe of Yosef was split into two, Menasha and Ephraim, each of them counting as a full-fledged tribe and each receiving their own portion in the land of Israel. The next pasuk continues with a caveat, ki Yehuda gavar ba'achiv ulenagid mimenu, Vabachor al Yosef, for Yehuda was the strongest among his brothers, and the kings will come from him, while the Bechora, the firstborn rights, went to Yosef. In other words, even though Yosef received the birthright of double inheritance, he's not to be considered the firstborn in all respects, in that the kingship went to Yehuda. The commentaries note that while kingship went to the tribe of Yehuda, we also see leaders coming from Yosef as a result of his stature as a Bechor. First, Yehoshua, who led the people into the land of Israel, was from Ephraim, the son of Yosef. Second, many of the kings of the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, were from Yosef. And finally, the Gemara discusses a Mashiach ben Yosef, a Messiah from the tribe of Yosef, who will precede the arrival of the actual Messiah from David's family, at the end of deeds. After establishing that Reuven is not the Bechor, the Pesukim continue to the genealogy of the tribe of Reuven. Pasuk He mentions a person named Be'era, who was the last prince of Sheva Reuven and was exiled to Assyria. Be'era is assumed to be the father of the Navi Hoshea, who is referred to in the book of Treyasar as Hoshea ben Be'eri, Hoshea the son of Be'eri. Hoshea delivered the prophecy that we read every year on Shabbos Shuvah, the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The prophecy begins with the words Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, return Israel to your God. The Medrash teaches that since Reuven repented for having moved his father's bed, since he did Shuvah, Ata patachta b'tshuva tchila, you, Reuven, initiated Shuvah without having been punished first. Because of this, Reuven merited that his descendant, Hoshea ben Be'eri, delivered the prophecy of Shuvah Yisrael, that is the famous call to repentance. We know that Reuven and Gad had requested lands on the eastern side of the Jordan because they had a lot of sheep and cattle, and the land there was fertile and good for grazing. Again, Divrei Hayamim tells us that the same was true later in history, ki mikneihem ravu be'eretz Gilhad. Their cattle multiplied. Because of the need for more land, they fought battles to expand eastward until they reached the western border of the Nahar Pras, the Euphrates River. Notably, this expanded border of the tribe of Reuven was what was originally promised to Avraham at the covenant of the parts, the Bris Ben Absarim. There, Hashem promised Avraham, "Lezarecha nasati es ha'aretz hazos, to your children I will give this land, Minahar Mitzrayim ad Nahar HaGadol Nahar Pras, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River." Following the genealogy of Reuven, we get to the genealogy of Gad. The genealogy of Gad is very brief and doesn't go back all the way to the sons of the original Gad, the son of Yaakov. In general, we find in Divrei HaYamim that some tribes are dealt with extensively and some only briefly. In particular, in the case of the 10 tribes who were exiled earlier, Ezra had to make use of whatever was available to him in terms of information. Twice in our parak, we read about a war, it's either the same war or two different wars, between Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh on the eastern side of the Jordan and a people known as the Hagrim. Who were the Hagrim? Their names, Vitor, Vinafish, Vinodav, overlap with two of the three names of the sons of Yishmael listed in Bereishis parak Chaf Hei, Yitor, Nafish, Vakedma. This leads to the conclusion that the Hagrites were descendants of Yishmael. This makes sense, because this would mean they're also descendants of Yishmael's mother, Hagar, hence their name, Hagrim. The Psukim then go on to describe the exile of the 2.5 Shvatim that lived on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Pasuk Chaf Hei reads, Vayaznu acharei Elohei amei haaretz, they sinned by worshipping foreign gods. Vayar Elohei Yisrael es ruach pol melech Asher, thus ruach tiglas peleser melech Asher. Hashem stirred up Pul and tiglas peleser, the kings of Assyria. Vayaglem la Reuven v'lagadiv l'chatich shebet Manasseh, and they exiled Reuven Gad and half of Manasseh. Vayivim lachlach v'chavor v'hara unhar gozan ad hayom hazeh. And they were brought to cities in Assyria where they remain, Ezra writes, until today, in other words, until the day that Ezra wrote the Sefer. Unlike the tribes of the southern kingdom, for the most part, the tribes of the northern kingdom did not return at the beginning of the Second Temple period. This included the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh, who were exiled from the opposite side of the Jordan. Sefer Melachim, the Book of Kings, doesn't distinguish between the exile of the 10 tribes in general and the exile of the 2.5 tribes, Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh specifically. The commentaries differ as to whether the 2.5 tribes east of the Jordan were exiled first or simply towards the beginning of the exile. Rashi in Melachim B's Perek Yud Zayin describes how the 10 tribes were exiled in three stages. First, Tiglath-Pileser exiled Naphtali and Zvulun. He waited 8 more years and then returned, this time exiling the 2.5 tribes. Then Hoshea, who was the final king of the northern kingdom, rebelled against him and sought support from Egypt. So Tiglath-Pileser waited 8 more years and then came and set siege to Shomron, which was captured at the end of 3 years, at which point they were all exiled. Based on this discussion in Rashi, the 2.5 tribes were exiled 11 years before most of the rest of the tribes, although Naphtali and Zvulun, according to Rashi, were exiled first. A pasuk in Mishlei Perek Chaf alludes to this earlier exile. The pasuk says, Nachala mivo heles barishona, an estate acquired in haste at the outset, referring to Reuven and Gad, who hurried to acquire lands on the eastern side of the Jordan. V'achrisal lo sevurach, at the end will not be blessed. Rashi's of the opinion that Naphtali and Zvulun were exiled first, and then the 2.5 tribes. The Gemara in Erechin and Lamed Beis seems to hold that the 2.5 tribes were exiled first. The Gemara there reads, Mishagalu shevet Reuven v'shevet Gad v'chati shevet Manasseh, butlu yovlos. From the time the 2.5 tribes were exiled, the practice of Yovel, the Jubilee year, at the end of 7 Shemitah cycles, was abolished. Why was it abolished? The Gemara continues, She'enamar, because it says, Ukrasem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. The pasuk says, You shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. Bizman she'chol yoshveha laha, v'lo bizman she'gol miksasam. Because the pasuk says to all of its inhabitants, this teaches us that Yovel is only practiced in Israel when all its inhabitants, meaning representatives of all the tribes, are represented. The fact that Yovel stopped with the exile of the 2.5 tribes indicates that they were the first tribes that were exiled. This opinion is also supported by the fact that the 2.5 tribes were exiled by both Pul and Tiglath-Pileser. Pul reigns before Tiglath-Pileser, while Naphtali was only exiled by Tiglath-Pileser. Pasuk Chav Zayin begins the lineage of Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, which continues from here through the middle of the following Perek, Perek Vav. The lineage of Levi in our Perek narrows in on a father-to-son lineage of Kohanim, of priests, starting with Aaron, the original Kohen Gadol, the original high priest, continuing to Aaron's son Elazar, all the way through Yehotzadak, the Kohen Gadol at the time of the destruction of the first temple. Who are the people in this father-to-son list? Some Farshim, some commentaries assume that this is a list of Kohanim Gadolim, the high priests, that served over the course of this thousand-year period. But this position is problematic. First, there are a number of Kohanim Gadolim, a number of high priests, who we know by name who are missing from this list. Some famous examples are Eli of Sefer Shmuel and Eviasar, who was the Kohen Gadol in the days of David. An additional issue is as follows. According to the Medrash, Eli and his dynasty of Kohanim were descended from Aaron's son Isamar. The Kohuna Gadol of the high priesthood had originally been promised to the family of Pinchas, the son of Elazar, and should have remained with his family eternally. However, Chazal teach that Pinchas did not provide the leadership that his times required, and as a result, his family lost the high priesthood, and it was given to Eli and his descendants, who were descended from Isamar, the son of Aaron. The high priesthood was not returned to the descendants of Pinchas, in other words, Elazar's family, until the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Since all the members of the list in our Perek are children of Elazar, it cannot be a comprehensive list of all the Kohanim Gadolim of that period. Thirdly, Seder Olam has a list of the Kohanim Gadolim who officiated during the reign of each king, and only a few of the names listed there coincide with the ones here. Therefore, Malbim and others conclude that the list in our Perek isn't a list of Kohanim Gadolim. What, then, is the significance of this father-to-son list 23 generations long? This is the ancestry of Yehoshua, the son of Yehotzadak. Yehotzadak is the last member of our list and was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. His son Yehoshua, together with Zerubbabel, led the return of the exiles back from Babel, and Yehoshua then served as the first Kohen Gadol of the Second Temple period. By highlighting Yehoshua's ancestry, beginning with Aaron HaKohen, the first Kohen Gadol, continuing through the Kohanim of the First Temple period, and finally to his father, Yehotzadak, who was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, we have a stunning comeback story, paralleling the story of Zerubbabel, the descendant of Yechaniah, who we talked about in a previous shiur. This lineage serves to underscore the message of Ezra to the Second Temple community. You are a direct continuation of both the temporal and spiritual leadership of the earlier days of the Jewish people, and you will return and rebuild. The shiur is dedicated to Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.